verse 6, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Our first reflection is that humility sets self aside. Humility sets oneself aside. If you're humble, you will set yourself aside. Jesus, in his humility, laid aside himself. And you and I need to follow his example. Now listen, this is transformational truth. This is not just informational, like, yeah, that's what Jesus did. No, it's because that's what Jesus did, that's what we must do as well. Amen? Transformational. Think about how you can take this and change in light of these truths here today. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. This is one of the strongest assertions in Scripture as to the deity of Christ. Jesus is God who became man. Though he was, has the idea of he existed as God, and he continues to exist as God. That's the tense of this passage here. Though he was in the form of God, the NIV says, by very nature God. This is known in theology as the hypostatic union, the union of the divine nature with the physical human nature. Jesus is truly God, 100% God, who condescended. Now, when we think of condescending, we think of it in kind of a negative term. But in theology, condescending means that you have an almighty God, creator. We sang about that just a little bit ago. Creator of the universe, who's willing to become man, to confine himself to human flesh. Truly God, truly man. He is not limited. He was not limited by time, space, environment, but he was willing to confine himself to flesh. Hebrews 1:3 speaks to this. It says, he, speaking of Christ, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus, being God, humbled himself and took on human flesh. So he is 100% truly God and 100% truly mankind. Man. That's the hypostatic union. God became man, humbling himself. He did not count equality with God. That's the outward expression of God shared by the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now think about this. This is a little bit of an aside. But in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have perfect unity. God in three persons, the Blessed Trinity. It blows our mind to think about that, right? Okay, God in three persons, the Blessed Trinity. How could that be? Perfect unity in the Godhead. And Jesus, fulfilling his role, was willing to become man. He took on flesh in order to provide salvation to those who had turned their back on him. Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was willing to do that for you and me, to die in our place. But God, who was perfect and was willing to become man, equality with God was not a thing to be grasped onto or to be selfishly held onto. You think about a baby, you know, he gets a piece of candy, you know, and the baby's like, okay, no, not right now. You gotta give it up. You know, it's like, you know, and who knew the babies had such strength, right? They want to hold on to that candy, not let it go. That wasn't Jesus. Equality with God was not something to be selfishly grasped and held on to. And He was willing to set himself aside to become the example of humility of which we witnessed last week. This passage is really opposite the transfiguration. You remember in Matthew chapter 17, Peter, James, and John, they were with Jesus up on the mount, and as they were standing there, Jesus was transfigured before their eyes. They saw the glory of Jesus Christ before their eyes. And they were so amazed by this that they were bowing down to worship. And we just sang about that. A response to understanding that Jesus has first place should cause us to fall down in his presence. That's exactly what they did. And Peter's like, oh, hey, let's build some tabernacles here so that we can stay here. All right? They witnessed Jesus in all of his glory. But he says here in this passage that our mind, your mind, should not be that, or should be that of Jesus Christ, who was willing to set that aside, set himself aside as an example of willing humility. Of course, the opposite of setting ourselves aside is what? Pride, right? Pride is a focus on self. Stuart Scott wrote a book, and it's called From Pride to Humility. And he defines pride as, listen, the mindset of self, a master's mindset rather than that of a servant. The mindset of self, a focus on self, and the service of self, a pursuit of self-recognition and self-exaltation, and a desire to control and use all things for self. That's pride. It's a focus upon self. And Jesus was the opposite of that. He was willing to give up himself and lay himself aside. And that's what we need to do. That calls for change, right? When we talk about transformational truths, we're talking about, man, I need to change, and I need to follow the example, trace the example of Jesus Christ. And he tells us exactly what that is here. Here's some suggestions here. Don't manipulate circumstances to get the best for yourself. That's not what Jesus did, right? He didn't manipulate circumstances to get the best for himself. God, in fact, sovereignly superintended the circumstances to sacrifice his own son. You know, kids don't hide this. You tell the kids, hey, kids, line up for ice cream. And everybody's, wow, you know, they're jockeying around. They're trying to get first in line, right? You know, now adults were a little more subtle, right? You know, like, it's like, you know, that's the best, biggest piece, and I'm going to turn the plate so that when it comes around to me, I get that one, right? And we reach across and we grab the one that we want, you know, real subtle about it. It's like Pastor Nate when he says, hey, let's get in line before the selfish people do, right? We're just more subtle about that. Don't manipulate circumstances to get the best for you. Secondly, don't manipulate people to get what you want out of them. Don't manipulate people to get what you want out of them. Jesus didn't. Jesus even allowed a traitor to live among him for 3 years and among his other disciples. You should never have a friend just for what they can do for you. Now, that has implications for marriage. Think about that, those who are married or contemplating marriage. You don't seek a spouse, a mate, for what they can do for you. That's totally opposite of what Jesus is teaching us here. We should be seeking how we can minister and fill the needs of our spouse. Don't manipulate people to get what you want out of them. Don't be proud. Just don't be proud. Jesus wasn't proud. A pride is a focus upon self. Jesus humbled himself for the benefit of others. He provided salvation through his death. Think of Stuart Scott's book again, from pride to humility. And he gives us some indications of pride. I'm going to read these quickly. He says, here are some indications of pride. Allow this to help you evaluate your heart. Allow these to do that. Indications of pride: complaining against or passing judgment on God. A lack of gratitude in general. Anger. Seeing yourself as better than others. Having an inflated view of your importance, gifts, and abilities. Being focused on the lack of your gifts and abilities. Perfectionism. Talking too much. Talking too much about yourself. Seeking independence or control. Being consumed with what others think. Being devastated or angered by criticism. Being unteachable. Being sarcastic, hurtful, or degrading. A lack of service. A lack of compassion. Being defensive or blame shifting. A lack of admitting when you are wrong. A lack of asking forgiveness. A lack of biblical prayer. Resisting authority or being disrespectful. Voicing preferences or opinions when not asked. Minimizing your own sin and shortcomings. Maximizing others' sin and shortcomings. Being impatient or irritable with others. Being jealous or envious. Using others. Being deceitful by covering up sins, faults, and mistakes. Using attention-getting tactics. Not having close relationships. Indications of pride. Years ago, before Stuart Scott wrote this book, I had opportunity to listen to him preach on this topic of pride and humility. And when he was done preaching, I was sitting about the third row back, and I just sat there when the service was over, and I just put my head in my hands, and I just wanted to repent. And I'm not saying that I've arrived or I've fully repented, but when you start thinking about the importance of setting ourselves aside, it should speak to our hearts, and that's why I call this transformational truths, because I think it hits all of us right where it needs to hit, right in our hearts. But we think of chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let each consider others as more significant than themselves. Stuart goes on to say, give indications of humility. And he says, here are some manifestations of humility: recognizing and trusting God's character, seeing yourself as having no right to question or judge an almighty and perfect God, focusing on Christ, biblical praying and a great deal of it, being overwhelmed with God's undeserved grace and goodness, being thankful and grateful in general toward others, being gentle and patient, seeing yourself as no better than others, having an accurate view of your gifts and abilities, being a good listener, talking about others only if it is good or for their good, being gladly submissive and obedient to those in authority, preferring others over yourself, being thankful for criticism or reproof, having a teachable spirit, seeking always to build up others, serving, a quickness in admitting when you're wrong, a quickness in granting and asking for forgiveness, repenting of sin as a way of life, minimizing other sins or shortcomings in comparison to your own, being genuinely glad for others, being honest and open about who they are and who one is, and the areas in which we need to grow, and possessing close relationships. To go from pride to humility, that's the challenge of our text here today. Humility sets oneself aside, because that's what Jesus did. Here's another reflection on humility, and that is verse 7. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men. Humility puts others first. Humility serves others. If you're humble, you will look for opportunities to serve others because that's what Jesus did. He's our example. In theology, this passage is referred to by a Greek word, kenosis. This is the kenosis passage, that he emptied himself. And of course, the question at every ordination I've gone to, when we're grilling young pastors who are desiring to be a pastor, says, of what did Jesus empty himself? He emptied himself. He certainly didn't cease to be God. We already learned that, that the hypostatic union, he's 100% God. And some say that he laid aside the voluntary use of his attributes. It says Jesus emptied himself. It's interesting, in Isaiah 53, remember when we meditate on that, when we go through communion? In verse 2, it says, for he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. It appears as though Jesus just looked like an ordinary guy. Believe it or not, he wasn't born with this halo around his head like you see in the pictures, right? He was just an ordinary guy. And that, again, is opposite of the transfiguration in that he laid aside his visible glory. He didn't cease to be God. He just didn't appear to the rest of the world as God. He was willing to lay that aside, among other things. One commentator put it this way. It's like the cloud. Isn't it cloudy today? It looks like it. You have a cloudy day. And we say, the sun's not shining today. Oh, wait a minute. The sun is shining brightly. You take off on an airplane, you go up through the clouds, and it's like, whoa, man, I didn't bring my sunglasses, right? You got to close the blinds. The sun is always shining very brightly. It's just obscured by the clouds once in a while. And when Jesus became flesh, he didn't cease to be God. He still shone brightly, but eclipsed by his humanity, so to speak. Difficult concept to maybe explain, but as the text says, he laid aside himself. He took on the very nature of a servant. Jesus took on the very nature of a servant, meaning that he was willing to perform the acts appropriate to a servant. A servant serves. Matthew 20, verse 28 says that even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I mean, you think about it. Jesus willingly took a towel, wrapped it around his waist, and he stooped down and he washed the disciples' stinking feet in humility. That's just one example of what he was willing to do for you and me. And ultimately, to go to the despicable cross. He took on the very nature of a servant. He served to the point of sacrifice. We're going to see this in verse 8. He was obedient unto death in order to provide that which would be best for his people, you and me. If all of us would lay ourselves aside, unity would result, right? We take our eyes off ourselves so as to serve others. And the point here isn't that you may not get your own way, but your thinking, your attitude, your way. The idea here is that your way is inconsequential. It's not about me. It's all about him and the desire to serve others. Not lobbying or jockeying to get prominence or the preeminence. Thank you, James, for reading that passage. That Christ is to have the preeminence. And that brings us back to our focus. Our focus is on Jesus and the gospel and who he is and all that he's done on our behalf. So the challenge here is to look for opportunities to serve others. If you want to be like Christ, look for opportunities to serve others. I encourage you to do that this week. In the name of Jesus, right? You're doing it not because of, well, I want everybody to see how great a servant I am. No, it's because he is my example in serving others. It starts at home, right? Do that at home. Look for opportunities to say, hey, can I get that for you? How can I help? You can do this for mom and dad. You know, hey, is there anything I can do to help? Parents, you could serve your kids. What can I do? What do you need? Husbands and wives serve each other. Hey, can I get that? Offer to serve a meal. Offer to get the snack. Offer to clean up. Offer to do something that nobody else wants to do. It starts at home. Listen instead of trying to get your point across. Starts at home. Kids at school, just how many more days of school left? You're counting them down, right? You know, 5 more days. Oh, man, 5 days. Look for opportunities to serve. Serve your classmates. Serve the teachers. How can you help? In the name of Jesus. Look for those opportunities. You can do that at work. Volunteer to do the thing that nobody else likes to do. Offer to fix the coffee. Offer to set up the break room or the meeting room or whatever it is. I remember my brother, he would go into work, and dad taught him this, and mom and dad taught him this. You go to work and start sweeping. You know, if there's nothing else to do, just start sweeping the floor, right? Again, opportunities abound around us to serve. You think of ministry at church. Look for, listen for opportunities to serve, to set up tables, to take down tables, to help the missionaries carry things to their cars. Now you're going to have a line of people saying, what can I help you carry to the car, right? But we look for those opportunities. Look for that person who's sitting by themselves or standing by themselves and say, hey, and introduce yourself and come up alongside and become their friend. Look for those opportunities that come your way. Opportunities to serve by teaching or giving of a testimony, to visit someone in need or to call someone you haven't seen for a while. And my prayer is that FBC will become a church that is known for loving and caring for others. Not just in the church, although that's important. As excited as we are to see people coming into the church, we need to be reaching out and loving and serving the people within the church as well. But then, as we go out into the community, to love and serve our community, and I'm so thankful for the generous spirit that I see here at FBC. You know, we have that the food pantry, and it's a great way. Just this week, we had opportunity to help someone in the community who said, hey, I have a need. Can you help me out? And we had opportunity to do that because of your generous giving of food. And we have the food truck out front. I mean, we see people. Pastor Nate sees more than I do because he sits in his office and he watches over the community from his office. If you want to know what's going on out there, he knows, you know. But, you know, we see people coming and using, and not only using that food truck out front, but we see people we see many of you giving to that and other people in the community giving to that. I can't help but think of our Operation Christmas Child, you know, with the shoe boxes and our coats and shoes for kids. And you're just so generous in giving. I think of our ladies' ministry and how our ladies, you know, the lap quilts. And when my dad was in the nursing home for there for a while, they gave him a lap quilt, but I guess they thought his lap quilt was man-sized because it's really big. And he loved that. He still does. Thank you. They have the comfort kits that they share with people in need around the community. Those who are involved in the laundry ministry, we're able to do the laundry ministry because of your generosity, helping people do their laundry just by putting coins in the machine and building of relationships. Becoming known as a church that loves and cares for others. Humility sets self aside Humility looks for opportunities to serve others. Another reflection on humility is verse 8. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Humility is sacrificial obedience. If you're humble, you're going to be obedient. Christ took on the outward likeness of a man, again, truly man, like no other man, for he was also God. Then as a man, as if becoming a man wasn't humility enough, he humbled himself in being a man and became obedient unto death, the humiliating death on a cross. Could you imagine being on display in front of crowds of people, writhing in pain, naked before them, nailed to a cross? That's what Jesus did for you and me. It's one thing to obey when there's little consequence. It's a very different thing to obey when there's great consequence. I think of a soldier, someone in the military, when the commanding officer says, I want you to take that hill, and the enemy is on the crest of the hill. Take that hill. Take that mountain. Now. To think of, I'm going to obey orders even though it could cost me my life. That's what Jesus did. It's one thing to obey when there are little to no consequences. It's another thing to obey when there are consequences. That's what we have in Jesus. Sacrificial obedience. And it was God's will that Jesus would suffer and die. Isaiah 53 verse 10 says, it was the will of the Lord to crush him and has put him to grief. And Jesus willingly gave of himself to die on the cross for your sins and mine. And if you would just believe that he did that for you and received his gift of salvation, you too can have eternal life. As you humble yourself, as you humble yourself and say, you know what, it's not about me. It's not about how good I am, because I cannot be good enough to stand before God. I need a Savior in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. And I ask him to save me. That's what Jesus did. He was sacrificially obedient. And I think sacrificial obedience is the key to humility. If you're truly humble, you will willingly and sacrificially obey. Sacrificial obedience is obedience when it's not necessarily personally convenient. That's what Jesus did. Willing to go out of your way at home, at work, at school, with your neighbors, classmates, friends, to love them, to be pure, to be kind, to be helpful, to witness to them, to reach out to them, to give to them. Sacrificially obedient. Humility puts shoe leather to your faith. Do you really believe what you believe? If you do, then this is what it's going to look like. As opposed to saying, it's all about me. It's all about him. And serving him by serving others. Humility sets self aside. Humility serves others. Humility sacrificially obeys. Therefore, verse 9. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our final reflection on humility is that humility will be honored. Humility will be honored. If you're humble, you will be lifted up. In fact, James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. In the same way, line of thinking, 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you. The word therefore in verse 9 is because of his act of humility, Jesus was given a name. In my notes here, I put name in all caps. He's given a name that is above every other name, any other title, any other position of greatness. That's the name of Jesus. That's who he is. Above every name. He's highly exalted. He's raised to the highest position. And that's how Jesus ought to be reflected in our lives. That's how Jesus ought to be reflected in not only our lives, but in our ministry. That the focus on our lives and in our ministry is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he would have the preeminence in all things. And I think when we all understand that and we all live that out, that unity that we so desire will be evident and prevalent in our ministry. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Life and ministry is all about him who is to have the preeminence, lifted to the highest position and allowing nothing else to take precedence. Verses 10 and 11, as we bow before him, it says that all creation would do that. It's not saying that all creation will be saved, but at some time when Jesus is seen for all and who he is, everybody's going to go, oh my, he really is Lord of all. We might as well do that now, right? We might as well do that now. Bow before him now, because there's coming a day when everyone will realize, oh my, he really is Lord. And that's why we sing, we fall down at the name of Jesus. Set your pride aside. Respond to Jesus. Pattern your life after the humility of Jesus, and joyful unity will result. How will these truths, ask couple questions here in closing. How will these truths change your life today, this week? In what way or ways do you need to lay yourself aside? In what way or ways do you need to put others first, to serve others, to obey sacrificially, so that at the right time, in the way that God so desires, that he may lift you up. But that's not what it's about. It's about walking in humility in light of him and who he is. Let's ask God to change our hearts. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you here, we are humbled by these truths. We are so unworthy. And yet we thank you that you have given us these directions, these instructions from your word, this example of humility through Jesus Christ. He's the one who showed us the way of humility. And because we're all still here, none of us have humbled ourselves to the point of death. And yet, may that be our heart's desire to willingly give of ourselves even if or when there may be consequences to doing so. With everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed, I encourage you to take to heart these truths here today. Evaluate your heart in light of the clear ministry of the Word, in light of God's Word being set before us here today. And may every one of us ask, how do I need to change in light of these truths? With the power of God working in us, to enable us, to strengthen us, to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, transform our hearts to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do that apart from Jesus and the power of the Spirit. But allow the Word of God to shine brightly on your heart here today and ask God to change you, to start. Maybe they're just a nugget of truth here that has spoken to your heart, and say, that's where I need to start changing. And ask God's help here today.